Right, John's on the line. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Stephen, 4 years ago, myself and my wife were in bed and we heard a noise, raised voices downstairs, and my wife woke me up and we both ran downstairs, and three burglars had come into the house. It was just after midnight. And one of them had attacked my son, and one of them had my son in the head with an iron bar. So we fought with the burglars, and we managed to restrain one of them. But one was outside. He lifted my wife's car keys, and he started my wife's car. And I went out and tried to stop with him. So I was grappling with him in the car, but he pushed me out of the car, and he reversed out of the driveway onto the road. And just as he reversed out, the police had arrived. Now, in fairness, the police arrived very, very quickly. The police had arrived, and I actually reversed into the police car, had it sideways on, and the police jumped out of the car, ran around. I watched them, it was like something out of a movie. They had their batons, they smashed the windows of the passenger door and the driver's door and dragged the guy out and handcuffed him. Now, there was little damage done to my wife's car apart from the two windows that were smashed by the police, you know, to get the guy out. So that was all right. The car was partly in the road, partly in the footpath, and partly still in my driveway. And I can't remember, I think we just pushed it back in again off the road, but the police were coming and going all night, you know, because one of these guys had a lot of form and everything else, and the fact that they caught them, they were highly commendable and everything else. But then they said they wanted to take the car away for forensics to get it fingerprinted.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, fine, no problem. So they took it away. I won't name who the company was, but it was a local company. And after a day or two, because my wife was working at the time, she was taking taxis to and from work. So after a couple of days, I said, look, can we get this car back and see what the damage is and get it fixed and everything else? We told, yeah. We were told where it was. So I went up to collect it, and they said, yeah, yeah, okay, you'll have to pay. I think it was £180.
Here we go.
I says, what for? He says, for the vehicle recovery and storage. I says, I didn't ask for the vehicle to be taken here. You know, so...
So there's another example, which Chief Inspector Rosie Leach is telling us this morning doesn't happen, where the police took your car away from your home and then they charged you.
Well, it wasn't the police charging me, it was the garage that was charging me.
Yeah, but as a result of the police taking the car away from your home, you were getting a charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the PS and I have told us over the last 2 days it doesn't happen. It does happen.
It does happen. Well, Stephen, I refuse to pay it. And I refused point blank to pay it, and I said, I'm not paying it. And the garage told me, well, every day it sits here, it's going to cost you an hour, £20 or £30 a day. This is not costing me anything, because I'm not paying it. And the police officer who was dealing with the case was very, very helpful.
Well, did you have any leverage? Were you able to threaten them with anything? Court or anything?
I don't know. I had lived overseas for a while. I only came back to live in Northern Ireland a few years before this. And I was working as a taxi driver at the time, and I'm not... I always listen to Radio Ulster during the day when I work as a taxi driver, and I've always enjoyed the Nolan Show because I think it's great the way you tackle things and, you know, and confront people and don't let people off the hooks. So I threatened them. I said, right, I tell you what, if I don't get this car tomorrow, I'm going to the Nolan Show, I'm going to tell them what you have done. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 I think there was a fax sent from the police to the garage, told them to release the car, and I went and got my car back and didn't have to pay for it. But, you know, on top of a burglary at my home, you know, where my son was hit in the head with an iron bar and he was bitten as well by one of the guys and was injured, you know, the stress of all that there, you know, it was pure 3 days. It just added to the whole stress of the burglary and everything else that we were confronted with this situation. Yeah.
To be fair to Chief Inspector Rosie Leach, she didn't say it doesn't happen. She says it shouldn't happen. I'll tell you what's coming out of this story. There needs to be a consistency from the PSNI to how they are dealing with victims of crime. So there's an example of where that police officer on this programme said, no, it should not happen if the police decide to take a car away from your house, at their discretion, they should not be a party to you then having to pay for that. And you and others are telling me it does happen.
Only I created the fuss. Only I refused point blank to pay it, and only I created the fuss, I would have paid. As far as I was concerned, we were the victim of a crime. Why should we have to pay for it? I can understand the police wanted to take the car away for fingerprinting and stuff, fine. But why should we have to pay for that? You know, so it was quite the principle. I just refused point blank. I said, the car can sit there as long as you want. I'm not paying a single penny, and I'm going to go public with this, and you were the best way I thought of going public at the time, you know. So I don't know how much bearing the fact that I threatened them with a known show hat on it. You know, I suspect the police officer who dealt with the case, she was a lovely woman, she was very, very good, very, very professional. I suspect it may have been resolved anyway, but I went on for a day or two, and I just got fed up with them, and I said, right, this is what I'm doing, I'm going to get my car back. And,
I've told you all, use this programme. Don't just use it on air, use it off air, use the name of the programme, tell these people that you will bring your story to us. That's what we're here for. John, thank you. Morning to you. James. Morning, James. Huge.
Hello, you doing, Stephen? First of all, Stephen, before I go on to my comment, I sort of want to point out somewhat the Chief Constable said about getting into difficult areas like West Belfast. I think that all areas in Belfast at the minute are very difficult rather than just one point-blank spot of what you have mentioned. So I want to make that clear.
What do you mean? She mentioned about getting into difficult areas is what she said, like West Belfast.
Yeah, Nancy commented and saying West Belfast. But I think all areas in Belfast at the minute with the ongoing tensions is a difficult area rather than pointing out one specific area.
And did you take exception to her labelling West Belfast? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I do, because I think all areas, there's car crime and there's crime in all areas around Belfast and just not West Belfast.
Yeah, but there is a security risk from dissidents, isn't there? And quite a few cars end up all over Northern Ireland, including West Belfast.
Yes, there is. That's 100% correct. But if you look at North Belfast also, you'll see that there's lots of car crime there. If you look at East Belfast last year, you'll see that there was lots of car crime there, with roads were being blocked due to flag protesters of where they were setting cars alight. So we can go on and point out different sort of areas with regards of where there's been difficulties. But I think for the Chief Constable to come on and say...
Chief Inspector Rosie Leach.
To come on and say one particular area is quite unfair rather than saying the whole of Belfast. But to get on to my positive point, with regards to my car got broken into in the Grosvenor Road, Lower Grosvenor Road, and the police phoned me and gave me an option to come out and pick my car up myself.
So why don't they do it every time?
I think they should. I think, you know, the working class people are being penalised. Things are all right, tight enough. I believe that the money should be coming out of the policing fund for recovery of vehicles. I'm sure a lot of other people have that same view. But, I mean, at the minute, we're forking out millions and millions of pounds on different things, dissident Republican activity, trying to secure that. Flag protesters, City Hall and up at North Belfast, and all different issues. But, I mean, we're finding the money, the police these areas on an ongoing basis, but they can't find the money for people of crime who insurances are so dear already on cars, and the run of cars are so dear, the tax on cars are so dear, but let's charge them £250 for their car to be picked up after being in crime. It's a joke. But I mean,
well, they would say that this is a policy across the UK. This is a fee that is fixed not by the PSNI but by the Home Office. And you heard the Chief Inspector say, look, if someone more senior than her wants to change the policy, then she'll implement it. All the police in Northern Ireland are doing is implementing a UK-wide policy.
Yeah, but typical Conservative government, you know, profit off people, you know, that's what they're all about. You know, let's let the rich stay rich and let the poor make them poorer. That's the Conservatives all over. But, I mean, I would like to run for the tender of that contract. 7 years that contract is running for. They have a middleman, the management of the contract, and then they spread the work throughout all their companies. God, when was that tender put out to the public?
Well, and you just heard today some of those companies have a 7 year
which is a joke,
solid contract. But
years.
Let's remember something. Hold on. Let's remember that, you know, it can be dangerous working for the police. There are sensitivities for working for the police in Northern Ireland. Some people would call those companies who are doing that brave.
Yeah, but there's other types of jobs, Stephen, throughout our society. What people may class them doing the job as, you know, police work, but they don't get the sort of wage or the profit for what they do. I'm not going to go get into them job titles, but I mean, it's profit making, high profit making through a public body. That's what it is. It's a public body, what you and I fund by paying the major amounts of tax that we pay throughout the lifetime. But when we're a victim of car crime, we have to pay £250 out. And, you know, you'll probably find...
That's what you've got insurance for.
Yeah, but I mean, some people's insurance, for excessive insurance, costs nearly £150. If you have third-party fire theft on your vehicle, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
I know. Look, I go for excesses in every one of my insurance policies because I kind of think, hope it doesn't happen to me and it'll reduce the premium. I know that. I know that's how lots of people do it. I do it.
Yeah, but also on the top of that, if they use their insurance to go through it, what's going to happen next year?
No claims
you're going to have the insurance company going, let's fire on an extra £500 or whatever on the year.
And then that last caller, just that went over the edge. That last caller, he's grappling with thugs in his house. You know, his car's sitting at his house. The police put batons through his car windows, fair enough, in order to catch the thugs that are trying to steal his car. The police decide to take the car from his house and the police then end up charging him as the victim of crime for taking the car away from the house.
Yeah,
and he stood up to them, he would have been handing over a couple of £100.
Yeah, it's a joke. You know what's real crime, you know, but yet he's being penalised by the PFNI who employ these companies, technically.
What the Chief Inspector has promised to do is provide us with the figures. So what we will...
Yeah, I know, and I'm sure they'd be very interested in the figures. Well, I want to know is how much profit... Is the middle person making out of this?
Well, so there's a managing agent making profit out of your taxes. There's then these companies making profit out of your taxes. The only person that doesn't make a profit is the victim of the crime.
Yeah, and I would like to see the figure from the middle company and how many people they employ. But I'll tell you this for one, that they probably only employ two people. To control all this, but the profit making, I'm sure, is quite high, you know. So
well, let's
see. Paying their staff minimum wage and £250 a week.
Well, look, I can tell you now, there's someone in our office on to the police right now. The Chief Inspector has publicly promised to provide the figures around this, to provide the revenue streams for these companies. Why wouldn't you? Because it's public money. So let's just see the amounts of money that are involved in this. Is that all right?
I mean, I'm sure anyone can request that anyway. You know what I mean? So if she doesn't want to provide them figures, it can be requested.
Well, let's be fair to her. They fronted up, they came on, and she's promised the figures. So we'll get them.
We'll get them. She's like a politician, unfortunately.
Well, we will get them. All right? We'll get them. Leave that with us. Thank you very much.
Right,